Gerby Herwick III, and this is Boston Public Radio. Now, when you hear classical music, you're probably thinking a few things. Auditoriums, suits, people of a certain age, heavy music, dead composers, maybe powdered wigs, bow ties. In a town like Boston, there is no shortage of good music, but it does make the question, why bother with all that anymore? One group asked themselves that same question and is deciding to try something a little bit different. The Boston String Players. They're young, they want to play new music in new settings, and they're gunning for a similarly young, plugged-in audience to hear a new brand of classical music, and they're going to be taking a new brand of that classical music to also sort of a venue you might not think of for music, and that's the Museum of Fine Arts. So we're going to talk about that right now, and that program, which is happening on Friday, called Bach to Bjork. So that's pretty cool. With me in the studio is Motoki Tanaka, who's a conductor and the founder of the Boston String Players. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being with us. And we've also got Jasmine Hagens. She's the manager of lectures, courses, and concerts at the Boston Museum of Fine Arts. That's where the show's being held. How you doing, Jasmine?
Awesome. Great to be here.
So this is a pretty cool event. I think it's interesting because in some ways it strikes me that you guys are both in the same situation, which is you're trying to take something that maybe people think of as older or stodgy or stuffy, classical music and, you know, an encyclopedic museum, an art museum, and you're sort of trying to push them into new places. So how did this partnership get started? Maybe I'll start with you, Jasmine. How did the Boston String Players get on your radar?
Sure. I first discovered them on a blog called Sleepover Shows, and they're based out of Boston, and they do a lot with local groups, but also touring musicians, and they'll have them come to an intimate venue for the String Players. It was an art gallery, right?
Or art studio, yeah.
Art studio, yeah. And they record 3 songs and put them up on the internet for free. And I was researching groups to perform at the open house that was in conjunction with the opening of the Lindy Family Wing for Contemporary Art last fall. And the String Players struck me as you said, we're an encyclopedic museum, and as a group that is very rooted in these traditions and is well practiced in them, but is taking it to the contemporary.
Yeah, so the contemporary is kind of the place where you're living, Motoki. How long have the String Players been doing this? How did you first get the idea to do this? How much of this is traditional? How much of this is pushing into new directions?
Boston String Players have been performing together for 5 years now. We've been performing in different venues, and it's actually pretty recent that we started to perform on things like blogs or museums. We did a concert in more of a jazz venue last summer. And in terms of the relationship between the traditional and the contemporary, it's absolutely half and half. That's what I would say. You know, we're not doing everything contemporary. We're not just, you know, chucking everything that's traditional, and we're not doing it entirely just traditional either. So, you know, it's the key word is combining the sort of the traditional, classical music, so to speak, with something new, and not even just the old pieces of music and new pieces of music, but, you know, maybe performing old pieces of music in a different new perspective or context. Yeah. And that's what we want to change, the way we present and provide access to, you know, this type of music to people our age, really.
So, you know, it's interesting that you talk about kind of maybe more traditional music being presented in a different way. The program that you're going to be doing on Friday at the MFA, one of the pieces that's included in this is the Brandenburg Concerto No. 3, which in some ways is, you know, that's kind of, you know, of the canon, right? Like the classical canon. Yet, we're going to play a version right now. I want to hear a little bit about this, because this is something that I know was on your radar, Motoki, and this is a version of the Brandenburg Concerto No. 3, the classic Bach, done by a group called the Punch Brothers. So let's hear this. So So this is a piece written in 1721, but done in kind of in a bluegrass style here. So
it is absolutely, the instrumentation is bluegrass, and the Chris Tilley, the leader of that band, is one of my favorite musicians. He's a mandolin player, and he plays from traditional bluegrass music to an arrangement of Radiohead, which is the first time I actually found out about him. He was doing an arrangement of Radiohead song, and to music like Bach and Bartok as well. I heard that they've done Bartok arrangements as well, and you know, on mandolin, you know, which is not really written for mandolin, and he sometimes does it solo, and he does it with his band, and you know, a lot of classical musicians do some arrangements of, you know, pop songs and things like that, and you know, this sort of two ways of collaboration really need to start happening more, and that's exactly what we're doing, and that sort of attitude of, you know, whatever you're classified as a, you know, ensemble or a musician, you know, you can just perform whatever you meet, whatever music that speaks to you, and that's the key word, you know, sort of just getting out of that, you know, box that you always put in as a classical musician or bluegrass, you know, or a rock band, you know.
Yeah, that's Motoki Tanaka. He's the conductor and founder of the Boston String Players. They're going to be doing a show from Bach to Bjork at the MFA on Friday. With me also in studio is Jasmine Hagens. She's the person who kind of programs these kinds of cool events that happen at the MFA. She's responsible for bringing them there. Jasmine, what is it about the Boston String Players, you know, that it does, is there something about what they do that fits in with the mission of the MFA? Is it something that appeals to the audience you already have? Is it a way for you to reach out to a new audience? Who's coming in and seeing a performance like the one that they're going to do on Friday?
All of the above and everyone.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Every single person. Good.
So concerts at the MFA really reflect, you know, how the diversity of the art and the experiences that you can have in the museum. You can come in and you can go to a gallery talk, you can go to a lecture, you can go to a film, you can come in and just wander around on your own. You can be from anywhere in the world and find something there that resonates with you. So the concerts that I program really reflect that. They are world music, folk music, classical slash unidentifiable with the Boston String Players, and all of them are awesome events.
There you go. From the source.
Yeah. It's a really special thing to walk into the museum and be surrounded with these icons of culture and history, and then experience live music with people that, you know those icons and know that history, but then you know, listen to Gangnam Style and you know, and love Beyonce and the Punch Brothers, and it's really refreshing that it's out of the box and something new and innovative, truly innovative.
Yeah, it's interesting. The MFA, of course, as a museum, something you think about the visual arts there, the fact that, you know, you've got, like you said, these sort of icon painting statues on the walls. You're bringing music there, but the Boston String Players in this particular program and in other programs, you're not just doing music. The visual arts are a component of what you do, Motoki.
Absolutely. I was talking earlier about how to present so-called classical music in different context, in an alternative way to experience classical music. And you know, we have this great four pieces of music on the program, but we're adding different multimedia aspect to every single piece, so that audience can have a little bit different way of experiencing each piece. You know, one has a dance to it, one has a visual art and electronics add to the piece, the other one has a projection of different angles of the orchestra, where one might not see your hero just attending a concert at Symphony Hall. So that's a big part of us, our mission, actually.
Yeah, and when they first performed at the museum with this fall open house last year, they commissioned a piece, or we commissioned a piece based on one of the art pieces that was featured in the new wing. And it was a really interesting experience to be walking through the contemporary galleries for the first time and then go and hear the string players interpret that in an audible way.
Yeah. So this particular program that's going to be happening on Friday is called From Bach to Bjork. So we can assume there's going to be some Bach, which we heard. There will be some Bjork then, I guess, as well. You're going to be doing an arrangement of a piece called Unravel. We're going to hear a little bit about this piece. We're going to hear a little of this piece, the original, right now. And then I want maybe you, Motoki, to talk a little bit about what it is that's that caught your ear about this piece. Incidentally, a band who I think has done a lot for sort of bridging a gap between the fine arts world and music, popular music, who's Radiohead. You know, Tom York, who's lead singer, has said that this particular song is his favorite song of all time. He's gone on record as saying
that's exactly
that.
Yeah, yeah. How I found out about this song, actually.
Really?
Yeah, and we did an arrangement of Idiotique by Radiohead last
yeah.
year. And I was just searching for different things to, you know, maybe challenge for BSP. And this song came, I found out about this song, and it's such a simple, minimalistic piece of music, and it's a song, but it has a very simple but very powerful structure to it. And I asked my friend Chad Gray to just go ahead and just make something out of it, and not do an arrangement. It's not so much of an arrangement of this song, but it's taking this idea of this song and just making something entirely new with what we have, which is string players. And he has his own electronic sound that he creates, and he's going to be performing live with the string players, and the visual art will be also performed live as well.
This song gave me goosebumps when I heard it during rehearsals the other night.
How did it sound?
It's really awesome. It made me want to hug somebody.
All right. You can't argue with wanting to hug people.
Right?
I mean, that's pretty good. All right, so we've got Bach, we've got Bjork. What else is on the program?
We have two other pieces on the program. One is Benjamin Britten's Simple Symphony, and And another one is Bartok's Departmental for Strings. And Benjamin Britten's Simple Symphony was actually featured in this film, Moonrise Kingdom, by Wes Anderson. And he also gave me, along with Punch Brothers, he all gave me this inspiration to you know, perform classical music in a different context, because he played he put so much of Benjamin Britten's music in that film, the sort of the Instagram, you know, look of his sort of making that look of 60s sort of hip in 2012 just really gave me that idea. It was like, oh wow, like, you know, not just showing up on a stage and performing a piece of music is not the only thing, the only way for us to perform like any type of music. And that's so we're featuring a dancer choreographer, Andrew Higgins, in that piece to pretty much tell our own version of the story through that piece of music. And Bartok Developmental Strings is our sort of the symphony of the program. And that's what we just, what you play first earlier. And that's just a really, really different. It's not a nice classical music. It's a very, very hard edge Eastern European folk music based.
Excellent. Hard edge music. Music that's going to make people want to hug people. The whole ball of wax. New stuff, old stuff. All of it happening. Boston String Players. They're going to do their thing tomorrow night at 7:30 at Boston's Museum of Fine Arts. You can get links to all the information that you need on our website, wgbhnews.org/BPR. Motoki Tanaka and Jasmine Hagens, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so that's going to do it for us this afternoon. The conversation, of course, continues on Facebook 24 hours a day. We will be back tomorrow, noon to 2. More on our 30 issues in 30 days and, of course, our week in review. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH. For Callie Crossley and Emily Rooney, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Have a great afternoon.